It's Razzle Dazzle Radio time, and I think spring is in the air. And to that thought, Tim Singleton, please inspire us.
Well, yeah, spring is in the air, even though it's just begun March. A little bit warm, and the daffodils are out a month early. This is a poem by Mary Oliver. It's called Spring. Somewhere, a black bear has just risen from sleep and is staring down the mountain. All night, in the brisk and shallow restlessness of early spring, I think of her, her four black fists flicking the gravel, her tongue like a red fire touching the grass, the cold water. There's only one question, how to love this world. I think of her rising like a black and leafy ledge to sharpen her claws against the silence of the trees. Whatever else my life is, with its poems and its music and its glass cities, it is also this dazzling darkness coming down the mountain, breathing and tasting. All day I think of her, her white teeth, her wordlessness, her perfect love. Let's let that poem go out to Ellen Kennedy, founder of Hoco Palitzo, the Howard County Poetry and Literature Society, and dear friend of many of us, who just passed away this last weekend. Ellen Kennedy she's put Howard County on the world stage in a literary regard with this community organization, Hoco Palitzo, and its TV show produced here at the college, The Writing Life.
So how did you come to know Ellen Kennedy?
Well, actually, when I was in high school, I went on a field trip to Slayton House to see somebody we knew nothing about, Derek Walcott at the time. And at that point, I remember thinking, I want to be that guy when I grew up. And that was years before I ever became aware of Hoco Palitzo or Ellen Kennedy. But being a student at an event that Hoco Palitzo so sponsored and created changed my life. And, you know, I was thinking quietly the other day how much of the person I am I owe to the presence and work of Ellen Kennedy.
Wow. I think we all owe a lot to her. She was a feisty woman, although that's usually a masculine term, adjective. But she really got in there and dug in and developed an organization that, as you said, became worldwide. And she brought in the Irish poets for Irish Night and, of course, talk a little bit about her friends, too.
Yeah, well, back in the day when Columbia was just farm fields and a few houses and mostly Rouse Dream, some of the people that were here first got together and wanted some entertainment. And Ellen and a few bookish friends said, why don't we start inviting writers to come to our community, you know, rather than go to Washington or Baltimore to see these people at places like the Library of Congress, why don't we have them come here and read for us? And Hoco Palitzo was born. And the list of writers that they have brought into the community to venues like Smith Theater, to the classrooms of the high schools and middle schools, many Nobel Prize winners, many Pulitzer Prize winners, the best living writers of today. As somebody who was young and aspiring to be a writer, I got to hang out with my gods. One of the best days of my life,
yeah.
I spent in a room on the college campus just hanging out with Donald Hall, talking to him for hours on end while we're waiting to record a TV show. So Hoco Palitzo was, you know, just a bunch of people in the living room in the beginning, and now we do about five major events a year, and we're working with other organizations in the community to program even more events. I like to say now that Hoco Palitzo was TED before, you know, TED Talks before TED was TED. You know, ideas that matter. We would bring the great creative minds of today into local venues and have them share with us their insights to life and everything. So it's been a joy to be able to participate in this and to know Ellen.
What else is happening in poetry and writing here at the college coming up?
Well, you know, we were talking about the change of seasons, and even though this is just March and spring is already here, I was thinking that the literary community here is so strong these days that it's almost in full bloom all year round. We have things like Laura Chavon, Linda Joy Burke, Anne Bracken, and
others.
And others put together Wild Readings, which is a monthly reading series from September to June at the CA Arts Center in Long Reach, where they feature a couple of writers and then have an open mic. The featured writers are Pedigree. Next week, next Tuesday, it's the second Tuesday of the month, Edgar Silex and Reuben Jackson will be reading. You know, they do about 15 minutes each, and then people from the community can step up and read from the open mic. We're starting to see students step up to the mic for the first time and, you know, start to dream, I can do this, I can be that writer, and it gives them the that opportunity. Laura Chavon recently started something called The Write-In on the last Tuesday of every month at the Common Kitchen in Clarksville. Writers spend most of the time by themselves in their basements, in their living rooms, wherever it is that they choose to write. She said, come out to the Common Kitchen from 9:30 till 12, and we'll all write together. And that's literally what happens. A bunch of introverts get together, look at each other, maybe grunt hello, sit down with their laptops or their notebooks, and write for a couple of hours. And, you know, it's a very productive session. Hoko Palitzo has the Blackbird Poetry Festival coming up on the last Thursday in April, April 30th, I believe is the date. Blackbird Poetry Festival is happening for 12 years on campus, a day with where students get to work with a writer, get to do readings with a writer. This year, the writer is Jeffrey Brown, the NPR journalist who happens to have a book called The News, which is a book of poetry, and he reports on poetry and the news and poetry, and it's a very great mixing of the two concepts, the distillation of language in poetry versus how a journalist has to report what is happening. So I'm fascinated, can't wait to meet this fellow. Books in Bloom, the Downtown Columbia Partnership's annual book festival. It's a couple years old now. It's going to be again on the grounds of Meriwether Post Pavilion. That's on May 31st. They're working through contacting writers and booking them now. But they're exploring themes. They like to do panel discussions and things like that. Feminism, LGBTQ+, young adult, because it's Meriwether, music, and because we all eat food authors. Last year they had Jose Andre as the main author. So the list isn't out yet, but they're working on building an even more exciting event this year. That's May 31st. And City Lit Festival, Carla Dupree, who used to work with Hoko Palitzo, would chew my ear off if I forgot to promote the City Lit Festival. That's March 21st in Baltimore. And you can go online to City Lit Festival to find out more about that. Actually, I got tired of looking at all the different websites for literary events. And so I created the Lit Calendar on the Hoko Palitzo website where, you know, I took a Google Calendar document and started filling in everybody's event. So there's one place you can go to get Baltimore, Washington literary events, what's going on in the region. It's a work in progress, so bear with me if you have a literary event that's not on there yet. Just get in touch with me.
Tim, you're a world of knowledge. Let's remind folks what Hoko Palitzo means and give the website address.
HokoPalitzo.org. Hoko Palitzo is the Howard County Poetry and Literature Society.
And Tim, I am so glad you made your dream come true. I love that story. What high school did you go to? Just curious.
It didn't matter back then, but it was Oakland Mills.
Okay.
Yeah, and I had Doc Costantini as an English teacher that really got many students into the text and taught them what writing was really about and, you know, changed the course of a lot of minds.
That is so wonderful. I love hearing that story. Keep living your dream.
Yeah, I hope so.
We all do. And actually, that's a perfect segue into someone that is now sitting here to my right that has been living her dream for her whole life, I pretty much think. And it's Hazel Chung. And she is an amazing woman. She has so many stories to tell. And Carolyn can even tell you some more on top of hers. But she has been a dancer for all of her life. And I love how she's shifted her art to a massage, kind of a dance massage kind of form, too, that she's working on. And I can't even pronounce it, so I'm going to let you. But Hazel, welcome. Thank you so much for coming on Razzle Dazzle.
It's an honor to be here among such pioneers.
Well, we like to always say we like to hear about the past, present, and future. So let's hear about your vivid past. And I know that the one thing that everybody knows about you is that you were in King and I with Yul Brynner. That's something that you can definitely take to your grave. So
yes,
tell us about that.
That happened in New York after I was in the midst of attending Juilliard School of Music and Dance. And there was an audition because Gertrude Morrison had just... Gertrude Lawrence, Mrs. Anna Haja. So I auditioned, and after many months of audition, got into the show, played on Broadway with Yul and Patricia Morrison, and then went on tour for 2.5 years. Yes, it's an amazing experience with Yul Brynner on tour.
Oh, I can only imagine. So, all right, so where did that take you then after that experience?
It took us to, I think, at least 34 states. We really did the map. 2.5 years we traveled together. Amazing experience, and that certainly is a chapter in my life that I will never forget.
Absolutely.
I've had the privilege of knowing Hazel since, I believe it was mid-1970s. No, before that, I think. Anyway, maybe the 80s.
80s is when we moved here.
Okay, I guess
my
it was
husband
the 80s.
And I, 1981 from Hawaii, because we had retired from UCLA, lived in Hawaii for a while, and then he decided, I'm not retiring, and then came to Baltimore, UMBC, in 1981.
Yep, that's the time I met. I took your dance class there.
Wow.
The he is Dr. Mantle Hood, who's gave us a legacy at UMBC in musicology.
Ethnomusicology, yes. Right. Thank you. He's the pioneering figure. At UCLA, he developed the Institute of Ethnomusicology.
So that brings us to HCC, where I was teaching a dance class back in the gym, and I asked Hazel to come over and share her expertise. And she took the dancers, who were very uptight ballerinas, and she gave them a whole new vocabulary. And it was fun. I took pictures, still have those pictures. Then, later on, we got together through mutual friends, Dr. Brazil from Towson University, and she had been a classmate with you at Juilliard.
Exactly, yes. There are three of us still in this area. Helene Brazil, Lonnie Herschel, who was in charge of the ballet company in Virginia, and Martha Whitman, a very famous dancer with the Jose Limon company, and myself.
But your true love, as I know, is Oha Shiatsu, correct? And tell us about the formation of this, how you got involved, and what you're doing now.
This, I would say, was a segue. And a kind of like a miracle, because I had come from, I was here for many years teaching in four universities as a part-time teacher. It was Goucher, UMBC, the University of Maryland, College Park, and somewhere else. I was just burned out. I was teaching Balinese dance, Javanese, in 10 weeks. How can you get a performance together in 10 weeks? Such difficult. So a friend of mine said, come on, let's go. There is a teacher named Ohashi Sensei somewhere giving a... And I went. And that, I could see, I felt something. I can't explain it, but that's when I segued into taking these courses for 3 years. It was difficult because there was nothing here in Maryland. I had to travel to New York on my own, sleeping in blah, blah, YMCA's. Very difficult, very difficult. And that's how I got into
and
this.
And then you started your own school in it. So you had your own, didn't you have your own school and
yes,
studio?
Yes, finally I became a certified Oha Shiatsu instructor. Uh-huh. And started a school called Oha Shiatsu Maryland and serviced the community for 35 years, helping people with their health. And I decided that I was going to stop after 35 years. But I did some meditation. I asked a question to the universe. I said, should I continue doing this? And the answer came back. So I did organize a class, again, for level one, which will be performed on March 13th, 14th, and 15th. And lo and behold, miracles do happen. There's a student coming from Iowa one driving from California,
wow.
one driving from New York City, and the course is building. It's going to happen. So I feel that I can still continue with this. It's a wonderful technique because we have a principle called the giver is the receiver, the giver. So it's a circular exchange of energetics mm-hmm. that is healing touch. And we think of it also as touch healing for peace. So it's a beautiful technique. The philosophy of it is on the five element theory and based on the principles of Chinese traditional medicine. I would call it energy medicine.
Mm-hmm. I think it's just a beautiful flow, and I like it because I've experienced it with you, and it's a massage form done on the floor, and it's almost a dance, and it's strenuous for the practitioner performing it, i.e. you. So I'm
exactly.
impressed that you're still, yeah, so you have to have dance in your bones to even, you know, perform it. And it's really lovely, and it really works the body, mind, spirit. It's very intense as it moves energy and shifts it in and outside your body, as I understand.
Thank you for saying that. It is an art form, and it's a healing form. Yes, the practitioner and the giver, the teacher, must be in shape. Many of our teachers, by the way, are dancers or mm-hmm. artists in some ways, because it is movement through touch. You are continually moving, and it is a dance form.
I know. I wish everyone could see you right now, because you're dancing it as you're speaking it. So yes, it's coming up from your core. I can see it. So don't you have a daughter that was a dancer?
A daughter-in-law. I have three sons that are okay. Two are married to dancers.
Oh, how interesting. Did you make that a requirement in your family?
No, I think the sons just chose these women because they were dancers. And Carolyn knows two of the famous dancers.
Yes, I think
yes,
she
I interviewed Pasha Umair, and she truly was one of the most beautiful dancers I've ever seen. But I'd like to turn around and go back to Tim, because he's sitting there very quietly absorbing all this energy from Hazel, right?
This is fantastic.
Yes, it is. It's beautiful. We're going to go back to it. There's an energy in Colombia right now. And it's very exciting to be here. I mean, after all these years of wanting a real city and Jim Rouse's yep. dream, things are happening. And I know, Tim, that you have an inside look and feel for what is happening. Talk a little bit about it and tell people what they should, you know, support. And
well, I think one of the more exciting things, judging by the way people are talking about it, is that Colombia is getting, this is another literary thing, forgive me, it's me you're talking to, Colombia is getting its own busboys and poets, which means
yes.
Andy Solal has visited a couple times, and I've gotten to see him speak. He spoke to Leadership Howard County a couple of weeks ago, and you get the sense that his mission with this busboys and poets project, I mean, obviously it's a business, but his mission is to, you know, in a sense, it's almost like the original Jim Rouse ideas of diversity is to get people talking to each other, respecting each other, understanding, you know, the richness of diversity, how we all benefit from the complexity of each other's paths and, you know, sharing from that. That's one of the things I'm super excited about happening here. Hoco Palitzo, I've talked to him a couple times personally, and we're going to continue the conversation and see how the groups that are already here doing great work for the community can, you know, interact and partner with this new organization, this new opportunity. You know, 400 seats, that's a lot of people to get together and start a conversation with.
Mm.
The Meriwether District Artist in Residence program is underway again. Howard Hughes sponsors an artist in residence where they literally house artists in undeveloped commercial real estate space. They're building buildings and they don't have tenants yet. So to use that space for a month or so. There's a submission period. The artists submit their work, and then I forget who the judges are this year, but renowned artists go through the work and pick three. I think it's four this year. It was three artists last year. And this year they're adding a musical element with Darren Otwater from the Downtown Columbia Arts and Culture Commission is working with Howard Hughes in selecting the musician. Last year we had Catherine Sulan-Mann. She worked on a mural pieces, and there were the glass of an office building on the fifth floor in downtown Columbia was this beautiful. It wasn't stained glass because it was made out of plastic and paper and color and all this thing, but it was just around the ribbon glass. You know, now that there's a new tenant there, it's gone, but it was there for a month. Ram Devanini, who with other people has created the first female superhero for India to use in comic books, augmented reality comic books, in order to teach, you know, women's and girls' rights to basically the young men of that community in order to, you know, grow a healthier world, was there. And I can't remember her name, was also one of last year's artists. This year, obviously, we don't know yet because I think they're meeting tomorrow to select, but that's one of this idea of creativity that is happening downtown, an area of culture and commerce where, you know, giving us an opportunity, a place to work, a place to thrive, a place to play, you know, for somebody who grew up here and never had a downtown of his own to go to. Now we've got the Soundry, Merriweather Post, more restaurants than ever, HCC with the Horowitz Center.
Definitely. Yeah. We still need an opera house, though, for classical ballet.
Isn't there one in Ellicott City that could be? And I'm always understood there was one building where the Christmas decoration shop is sort of down towards the river, that on the upper floor was the old Ellicott
City. Carol Maxwell's old studio?
That's an old Ellicott City that we got flooded away.
Yeah, but it's way high up.
I see.
I've never been able to see it or talk to anyone into letting me look at the space, but in that, I think it was called Discoveries.
Oh, okay. You're talking about the shop Discoveries.
Yeah, that building used to be the Ellicott City Opera.
Oh, wow. Well, you're a step ahead of me on that one. I only know about, okay. Well,
and speaking of space, which is really an obstacle for many dance companies and performers and musicians, where is the space where you will be leading the...
The Ohashiatsu classes is going to be at the Miller Grant, the Lutheran Village. It's in a retirement campus. I live there, and I've rented a space there. So it's very, very convenient. Lots of parking. There's a cafeteria and so on. So it's a beautiful space, easy to find.
My good friend Mike Clark lives there.
Yes, I know Mark. In fact, I introduced them to Ohashiatsu and did do a chair session on Mike. He's an amazing fellow.
I used to be co-publisher of Little Patuxent Review with him for a number of years.
And I wouldn't want to end this program without comments from, is it gamelan music? Is that how you say it?
Gamelan, yes.
Yes, because we don't have it anymore here, do we?
Well, it is still continuing in some fashion at UMBC by a student of Mantle's. In the ethnomusicology program, and I assist and help and give wherever I can. So there are two gamelans there, the Balinese gamelan and the Javanese gamelan classes.
And do they perform, the musicians?
Yes, they do.
And your sons also were part of the original gamelan group, and they are living abroad now, correct?
Yes, Madé Mantle Hood, the third son, is following in the legacy of his father. He's an ethnomusicologist, teaches in Taiwan University. Now they've had to go to Bali for a while, so he's in Bali, but hopefully we'll be returning soon back to Taiwan in good health.
And we all hope for good health, which is quite an issue right now all over the world, and everyone will be safe. There are rewards. But we have about 7 minutes left of this show, so let's talk about what's happening around Columbia.
Well, around Columbia right now. I love living here, and I always have. And like you said, we were always waiting for this moment to arrive, to quote the Beatles song. So I think we're here, and I think we're, like you said, I'm so excited that we're going to have a downtown.
Yeah, imagine. The past, the present, and the future is finally
it
happening.
It is. It's all colliding. Yeah. That is absolutely.
Columbia loves its past, and it's got a great past to celebrate, but we don't want to dwell in that. If Rouse were still alive, he would still be having visions and moving forward for the future.
We could get in trouble for that one, but I agree with you. I know. I will say that what I am sad about from the past, that I would like to see get a new vibrancy, are some of the village centers. It's sad for me to see them die, because we are so blessed to have them, and they were the mecca of the arts in each village. Mm-hmm. You know, and they were vibrant with all of theater and dance, and they're all sort of, you know, declining in some way right now. So I'm hoping that maybe the new will kind of get the old motivated again, and we can build some interesting programs in there. Certainly, there's no reason that you wouldn't be, Hazel, you know, able to come and do your OESU workshops in Columbia. I would love to see you bring them to Columbia.
Thank you.
You know, again, some of these village centers that aren't used, to get some new vibrancy in. That would be my plan.
I haven't really paid attention to what's going on in Long Reach now, but the arts.
Yes, the Museum of African Art is moving there.
Yes.
Doris Ligon is bringing all her treasures, mainly from West Africa. And we are so thrilled that it's happening, because she was moved out of Oakland because they couldn't accommodate folks. They didn't have
you know,
disabled. And she moved to Maple Lawn, but, you know, she was in an Episcopalian or maybe a Protestant church center, and you couldn't drink there. So those parties were really not as much fun as they used to
be. It's hard to fundraise without a little cocktail.
So now she's back there. So now they're back at Long Reach, and it's happening right about now.
Right, and there's studio space, and things like Manic Art has something that's going on over there.
Yes, Manic Art is coming. Lee Anderson is not only bringing her Manic Art, she is bringing some other kind of art form that only Lee Anderson could bring. I don't really even understand it yet, what she's doing, but she is going to take over space in a very big way. So
I think she's in the grocery store space.
Yes.
That's a huge space.
That's a huge space.
I don't live in Columbia. I'm in Ellicott City, but I look at this Columbia as a percolating, boiling pot of talents.
Oh, I love
and
that.
It's people like you who are continually stirring this pot. So, and the place where I live now, most of the residents are the pioneering figures. They laid the groundwork for Columbia. So three cheers for Columbia.
Okay. Here, here.
Yep, absolutely. Now, did you ever teach here in Columbia, Hazel? I try to remember if I took a class with you here. I know I
just
did at UMBC.
Carolyn. Yeah.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Well, Carolyn gets everybody to teach here.
I do.
She's the pot stirrer you're referring to, I'm quite sure. But, yeah, so maybe we can encourage you to bring one of your workshops as well. But, yeah, we're just getting ready to go in season, too, remember, because we've got spring. We've got all the new Merriweather performances, and I'm talking about the Chrysalis and some of the other exciting performances.
And I hear there might be some school system performance of Les Mis on the Merriweather stage coming up.
I think you did hear that in May. Could, do you know any more?
No. I actually don't know that much more. There's a date, and I don't have kids in school anymore, so.
I don't know anything about this.
Okay.
No. Yeah.
I'll send you some information.
Oh, yeah,
and you can pick up on it.
But I do want to give a shout out to Sue Kramer, because the Arts Collective, her group is celebrating 25 years in a big whammo, you know, salute, fun evening, fundraiser with drinks. And I think it's at the end of April.
I believe it's April 4th.
Oh,
I just
wrong.
Looked up the date. Yes.
Thanks.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good.
So that's definitely a must be a part of event. And cheers to Sue for all of her hard work and all that she has
We're going from having
done.
Nothing to do to having to make choices every night of the week.
Oh,
isn't that great?
I know. I love it. As a FOMO, though, it's really difficult. So, Hazel, you are just, I'm honored to be in your presence. And I thank you for all that you've contributed to the arts through your whole whole career, and you are not stopping. I know that for sure. So you can meditate all you want, but here, I can save you that time to tell you, you are not stopping.
Thank you.
You're the invincible Hazel Chung. Thank you so much.
Very stimulating. Thank you so much.
Thank you for coming on. Tim, you're just a wealth of information. I love it. You're like the concierge of everything in Columbia.
Uh-oh.
Fun and good. Thank you.
Don't tell anyone that title. This isn't public, is this?
Oh, yes, it is. It just became so. Thank you so much.
All right, sure. Thank you.
And now, join us next time for Razzle Dazzle Radio.
Connect with us. We are Dragon Digital Radio.